it's reality in life, but I've seen commercials where they're doing it, where people are climbing up the edge of a cliff and decide once they reach a certain elevation that they're just going to stop there and they're going to suspend their tent from the edge of a cliff. And I'm telling you that there is nothing about that that looks entertaining to me. Nothing about that that looks relaxing to me. I want to have a good, solid, firm foundation underneath my feet. At one point in time, I was working on the church, and we were painting or stuccoing or repairing soffit and fascia, and we were up there, and we had some 2x12s that we were walking on, and I'd never done that before, and so I was being very cautious, and the guy that I was working with, he said, are you that uncertain whenever you're walking on the ground? For him, the foundation of those 2x12s was just as good, as sufficient as walking on the ground. I like a good, solid concrete foundation. I've lived in homes that were built up on blocks, and there's problems there. So I like to have a good, firm foundation. So if you are got a construction project that's getting ready to take place, maybe you're doing some repairs or things like that, anything that has to do with concrete, give the folks at Jets Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So we are talking about spiritual truth right now, and today I want to take you to Matthew, the 9th chapter, Matthew chapter 9, making myself a note here for something else. So Matthew chapter 9, and we are going to be reading in verse number 35. We're going to go through verses 35 through 38, the end of the chapter. And it says there, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. So Jesus was doing his ministry. Somebody asked a question one time, and on the Lord's day, would Jesus be in church or would he be out ministering to people? And the premise of the question leads you to believe that he would only be doing one or the other. And the reality is Jesus did both. And it talks about that he was in the synagogue, as was his custom. That's what the Bible says. So whenever it was time to go to the synagogue, he went to the synagogue. Whenever he was out and about the people, he was listening for the Father's voice, and whatever the Father said, that's what he did. He had his eyes open to what the Father was doing, and whatever the Father was doing, that's what Jesus did. And so please understand that the house of God is important. Ministry to the community is important. Evangelism is important. Timing is important. And so here in verse number 35, it tells us that Jesus went about all the cities and villages. So everywhere there were people gathered, that's where he went. He went to touch people. He went to teach people. He went to preach the good news to them. And so he taught them in their synagogues, and he preached the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. So I want to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And so somebody was at the church one day, and and they were talking. I'd been working, and they just happened to stop by, and I said, "Yes, sir," and I patted my belly. I said, "I'm a full gospel preacher," and that he had never heard that before. That's not a Bob Arthur's original. But you know, we do believe in the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not punishment. The kingdom of God is not for a lesser quality of life. It is the higher quality of life. Becoming a Christian is not bad news. It is fantastic news. It causes heaven to rejoice. And so there are many people who will try and talk people out of the kingdom. There are some communities around the globe that they're okay with you believing in Jesus, but the day that you are baptized and put your soul, your only faith in Jesus as your hope of salvation, that's a step too far for them. And they say you either renounce your faith or you are going to be ostracized from the family. And so those people are very serious about the good news of the kingdom. There are other communities where if you put your faith in Jesus, that's completely and totally forbidden. And they will tell you either you renounce your faith or you are going to be martyred for your faith. And I will tell you that even in some of those communities, the gospel is growing very rapidly there. In fact, the more intense the opposition, the greater the pace of the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the slowest places of the advancement of the gospel of the kingdom is where everything is comfortable. Everything is comfortable. I've had discussions with other pastors, and whenever you ask this question, how would you describe your congregation? They would say comfortable. You know, we're supposed to be pressing in. We're supposed to be desperate to be as close to God, hear God's voice, and on God's mission as we possibly can be. So Jesus went about, and not only did he bring words, he also brought demonstration of the power of the kingdom. And so he was teaching in the synagogues, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And so there's some translations that leave out among the people. So because Jesus has done that in the past, I believe that the possibility exists that he still will do that in the future. That's why we pray for those who are infirmed in their bodies. That's why whether it's a sickness, whether it's a disease, whether it's trauma, whatever it might be, we believe that Jesus is able to heal that. There are a lot of people say, well, what happens if you pray and Jesus doesn't heal? Then we've lost nothing. But what happens if Jesus wanted to heal somebody, we didn't pray for them, and they were just as afflicted as they were before? So Jesus goes, and it says here what the real heartbeat, what the real driving force was in his ministry. It says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. He was moved with compassion for them. So I never have a trouble remembering what that word is. It's splankinizomai. I remember doing a sermon on every time the Bible said moved with compassion. And sometimes it was family members being moved with compassion for sick family members. I believe it was the Good Samaritan was moved with compassion for the person who was beaten and bloody and dying on the side of the road. And you and I need to say, okay, what is it that drives us? What is the motivating factor? What is it that moves us in our ministry and in our life? And it needs to be the same thing as it was for Jesus, that we are moved with compassion for people, moved with compassion for people who are hurting, moved with compassion for people who are afflicted, moved with compassion for people, it says here, because they were weary. So they were weary. The word there not only means weary, it means weak, and it means harassed. If you watch a documentary about some of the national parks we have here in America where wolves are present and wolves operate in packs, one of the things that they do, they have no problem coming alongside a herd of, say, bison and getting that herd of bison to start running. And the wolves can keep up with them for a long, long time. Now, bison are very fast. They're quite intimidating. No wolf wants to take on an entire group of bison all by himself. But the bison doesn't have the endurance. They can go for a long time, but they don't have the endurance of the wolves. And at some point in time, they keep harassing this herd until somebody gets isolated. I don't know about you, but about the closest thing I get to animals harassing me or creatures that harass me are when the mosquitoes come out at night and they're flying around your head, and it's like, you know, this is really annoying. First of all, because I know I'm their target. I don't want to be their target. I want to go on the aggressiveness side of things to take care of that thing which is harassing me. Jesus is not standing idly by while the object of his affection, being humanity, is harassed spiritually, harassed physically, oppressed, being pursued as if they were prey. Jesus is moved with compassion for them. And so it says that not only were they weary, but they were also scattered. And that's one of those things that, I just talked about, where once they've got the herd or the flock moving, they will try and isolate normally the weakest, the youngest, and the isolated. They will try and put some distance between the herd or the flock and this one individual that they have now set their sights upon. So it's very important to stay connected to the body of Christ. I know that we came to Florida. We moved here because my company transferred me. But when we moved here, we had no family here. We had no friends here. We didn't know anybody here. But we had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that if he opens the door, that he is going to provide for us. And that's what we prayed for. That's what we asked for. That's what we got. And to this day, I'm still thankful for the body of Christ. I'm thankful for the church, not just the Assemblies of God. I'm thankful for the church as a whole. And so, whatever you do, don't get isolated. Don't get insulated from the church. The church is there. We've had people who've passed away this last year, and they said, I just don't see how people make it without the church. I've said that for years. How do people survive without the church? because there's no other group of individuals that are moved with compassion the same way that the Church of Jesus Christ is. So we need one another. We need one another. And so if you do not have a church home, please, we'd love to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. Merit Assembly of God may not be the best fit for you. It God may have other plans, but we would love to have you come and worship with us, because we don't want you out there by yourself. Missionaries have told me, when you are on the field, you recognize very quickly when you're in spiritual darkness and oppression just how desperately you need the body of Christ. And so the denominational hindrances are not nearly as intense in enemy territory, if you will, spiritually enemy territory, as they are here in America. Here in America, there are churches on just about every street corner, sometimes multiple churches on street corners. And each and every one of them that preaches the Word of God in its truth is necessary. So that's what Jesus did. He went about to the cities and the villages. He went to where the people were. He taught in the synagogues. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He healed the sick. He healed every disease among the people. And he was moved with compassion because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful." So here's the spiritual truth that I want to share with you. Again, that's Matthew 9:37. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So the harvest here could be talking about the crop. It could also be talking about the fact that it is the time to gather the crop. And so it can refer to both of those. In the scripture, the term harvest is almost always used from the concept of evangelism. Sometimes it's used in the terms of eschatology, of end time events. But here's what Jesus said. The harvest truly, and it is said emphatically. So Jesus is getting ready to tell the disciples the truth about spiritual harvest. It says, the harvest is plentiful. In John chapter 4, he told the disciples, as the entire Samaritan village was coming out to him and the disciples had come back with something to eat, he said, "The field is white unto harvest." Don't say we've got to wait longer to do this. Now I've got a purpose in teaching this morning, and that is this: every day people are entering into eternity. Procrastination cannot be the normal operating procedure of the church when people are entering into eternity without Jesus. We need to realize the urgency. Over the past 2 years, when the pandemic was going about with intensity, there were people who looked like they were going to not be impacted by it, and come to find out their appointment with eternity was much closer than we thought. There were others that we thought, man, if they ever get this, it's all over. And they survived. It was bewildering from an observation standpoint. But I can tell you this: we don't need a pandemic to realize the urgency of the harvest. I don't think that there's been a day in America where there wasn't somebody that was the day that they crossed eternity's threshold. So you don't have to say, well, you know, Jesus isn't coming back, so it's not really urgent today. I was driving down the road here a few weeks ago. I say I was driving down the road. I was sitting at a red light. There's one street on my way home that every traffic signal, I end up being the first car there. They have them timed exactly the wrong way. You know, you're either going to go the speed limit and you're going to sit at the light, or there are going to be people breaking the law and racing down the street, and they may actually skip one on occasion. I'd say out of the three traffic lights on my way to the house, I miss all three of them and am the first car there probably 80 to 90% of the time. Not that I've ever noticed or taken a concept of it. I'm just saying, somebody please retime those lights. The harvest truly is plentiful. I want to tell you what the spiritual truth is. There is a spiritual harvest that God has organized, that God has sown word into people's lives. He's sown people's relationships into their lives. The Holy Spirit has worked behind the scenes on behalf of those that are saved and those he wants to be saved, which is everybody. He's working, and Jesus says in 2022, the harvest for Brevard County is plentiful. The harvest for Merritt Assembly of God is plentiful. The harvest in your neighborhood is plentiful. The harvest on your job site is plentiful. Now listen, if there is no value, you don't really care what happens to the harvest. It could rot in the field. You don't consider it anything more than a weed. But when you realize that there is tremendous benefit and tremendous value, and if it's not extrinsic, if it's not valuable to you, it may have value in and of itself. And that's the real crux of the matter, is people have value to God, period. And so I don't want you to look at the news and see all of the culture wars that are going on and saying, well, there's no spiritual harvest taking place in Brevard County. Because Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. It's always going to be plentiful. Every day the harvest is going to be plentiful. I heard a statement made on a documentary, and it was talking about the frailty of the world food supply, that it's really not extensive. It's just a matter of a few weeks. What they were saying is food is constantly being produced someplace. It is constantly going to need to be harvested. And so we need to realize that the harvest truly is plentiful, but there's a problem, and that is the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Everybody thinks that somebody is going to do everything when actually nobody is picking up the mantle and getting it done, and therefore we have crop failure in our churches. Crop failure, not because of defective seed, not because of drought, not because of bad soil, but because of a shortage of people who are willing to labor for the sake of the harvest and the kingdom. So I've told you we're not the biggest church in the world. You know what our problem is? Workers. I told God a long time ago, we were doing a sidewalk Sunday school. I mean, we were doing lots and lots of ministry, going places where nobody else was going, and it finally caught other people's attention, and they said, "Hey, what are you doing?" We're going where people need to hear about Jesus. And I told God, I said, "God, we will do whatever it is you want to do, but you've got to provide the laborers. So, you know what? Your church, if your church is anything like every other church I've ever been around, they have a shortage of evangelists, a shortage of people who are out in the community inviting people to know Jesus. They have a shortage. Now, mega churches, this is not going to be true. They have, you know, but our church, we have no musicians. We have no musicians. We've had to be very creative in that aspect. And so we've got people who are willing to do anything and everything for the sake of the kingdom. But I'm telling you, just like every other church, we have a shortage of laborers. What do you do when you have a shortage of laborers? Well, it says this: therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. The Lord there is the one who's in the position of authority, and it's that word send out means to throw them out or drive them out. Do whatever is necessary to get them out into the labor field, because Jesus doesn't want anybody lost that he died to save. Join the harvest today, would you? We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
So it's with everything.